Welcome once again to Friends Church. And if you're new here this morning, hopefully this is going to be a good experience. Again, we're doing something a little different, really, for no other reason except to say, we want you walking out of this place kind of going, whoa, that was different and fresh on your mind. How many times have you walked out of a place and someone says, hey, how was it? And you're like, yeah, not bad. What are they talking about? Yeah, whatever it was good. We don't want that. We want this to be just there. This is Easter. Welcome to Easter at Friends Church. Did you know Easter is one of the most celebrated? Well, it's one of the most observed celebrations within the Christian calendar in a year. Historically, it's a time when we retell the stories that we read in the book of the Bible, in the Bible, of the life of Jesus, specifically around the end of his life. His death, his resurrection. It's an exciting time to kind of relive the story. It's also a time when we've taken time to teach beliefs and theologies that we believe are connected to the stories surrounding the Easter events. Beliefs that we've accumulated kind of over hundreds, thousands of years that we see a kind of a connection to. And we tell these stories because we think that they have relevance to our life today. The specific beliefs that we connect to those stories, we believe have relevance today too. In the school that I grew up in, well, in the church circles that I grew up in, there were certain beliefs that I heard every year at this time of year. I learned through the Easter story that there was a problem between me and God. There's this kind of broken, funky thing that keeps me from connecting with him. And because of the events that transpired over Easter, something got fixed. Something that Jesus did through his death and resurrection kind of fixed things so I could connect with God. This was a big time of celebration. The Easter story was a good news story. Starts off bad, ends up great. Story of hope. I always looked forward to Easter because it was kind of like, yeah, the bad guys lose, the good guys won, and there's hope that comes out of it, hope for anyone. Today, we're not going to retell that part of the Easter story. And we're going to tell another piece of it. We've been wrestling with this question. Would the original characters in the Easter story, would they recognize the story that we tell and the beliefs and the theologies that we share today, 2,000 years later? I mean, if we could go back and ask Jesus and his students and his disciples and say, hey, look at what Easter is today, 2,000 years later. Do you recognize it? Do you understand all the different pieces? Is that how you saw it? We wonder if this is how they would see it. If all the theology and all the beliefs that we've taught, if they would go, yep, yep, oh yeah, that's exactly, or they'd say, wait a second. Really? You mean that back there? No, we can't know for sure, right? We don't have that opportunity to be able to ask them. But the reason I'm asking this question is because there are some events, and one specific event that occurred just prior to the death and the resurrection of Jesus that doesn't get the same amount of limelight and hype in Christian circles as it maybe would in other circles. And I say Christian specifically because it's important that we understand that Jesus, if you asked him at the time, what religion do you ascribe? Like, what are you? He would say, I'm Jewish. He wouldn't say, oh, I'm Christian. His followers wouldn't say, oh, we're Christian. They'd say, no, we're Jewish. There were a number of very important, significant festivities, celebrations, ceremonies that Jesus would have engaged in with his followers that unless you were Jewish or unless you studied Judaism, you and I, we would have really very little understanding of what he was doing. There was one in particular, the night before Jesus was executed, that was extremely sacred and important to Jesus. And if you study a little bit about this ceremony and all that went down, and kind of the lead-in to the Easter story as we understand it, it can change the way you understand Easter.
Before the events you normally hear is Easter, the one that Jeff was talking about, there's an event called the Last Supper. It's just kind of a time when Jesus and his disciples hung out, got together. But just before the Last Supper, actually just as Jesus is starting it, he says this: I'm very happy, I'm very excited I get to celebrate this Passover meal with you. Now, if you're a Christian and you grew up in a Christian community, Last Supper, Passover, you kind of just put those together and say, oh, those are synonyms, that's no big deal. But it's not, actually. Passover is something extremely different. It's a celebration that recounts something that happened many thousands of years ago. It's not even recounting. They relive parts of the events. There's this ritual of they do something and then they respond and they play roles in the story. The Passover meal isn't just like, you know, let's have a meal, it's Passover, whatever. It has a very particular meaning in terms of the life of a Jewish person. So why at the Last Supper does Jesus say, I'm very excited to celebrate this Passover meal with you? And I think if you don't know what Passover means and how it applies in this situation, I think it allows you to have a very small view of the Easter story. But when you bring that into play, when you bring Passover into this moment, I think it changes conservatively everything. For me, it has me reading the Easter story in a completely different way. And it's the story we've been talking about from the book called Exodus. We've been talking about it for the last couple years, or last couple weeks. And really, this story starts with screaming. Like, screaming, pain, suffering, loss. But earlier that night, it started quietly. Like, unnaturally quietly. It's almost like everyone knew something was going to happen, but they didn't know what it was. Everything was quiet. And you sat in your home, and your dad gave you a portion of lamb and said, I want you to eat this. I want you to eat all of this. And you could just tell, it's not that like, hey, eat your food or you're not getting dessert kind of business. There was something else going on here. The whole night felt different. When your dad butchered the lamb for you guys to eat that night, he put a bowl under its neck and collected the blood. That's weird. But then before supper, he took that bowl of blood and he went outside and he got a branch from the tree outside. He dipped it in the blood and he rubbed it on the side of the doors and above the door. You watch the blood running down going, what is going on here? And then your dad closed the door and he latched it from within. Early evening, locking you in. He thought, this is the weirdest supper we have ever had in our lives. But it's been a crazy last couple days. And when I say crazy, don't think like crazy like us, like busy. Think like biblical crazy, like things are happening that's like, whoa. And it all starts off with Moses coming into town. And he's screaming, hey, God wants you guys to all be free. Great, so do we. You kind of thought he was a quack because he didn't talk very well. So he's like, wait till you see my snake. you're like, great, he's going to save us. This is going to go well. That was until he took his walking stick, dropped it down, and it actually became a snake. Then you're all like, whoa, this is incredible. But the Pharaoh wasn't impressed. He's like, so? You see, we've all been working for him, doing all of his labor for free for the last however long. So why in the world would he want to let us go? That doesn't make any sense, right? But Moses didn't give up. Comes back time and time and time again going, no, you got to let these people go. And every time the Pharaoh's like, no, it's not going to happen. He brings blood in the water, a plague of grasshoppers, darkness, like surreal biblical stuff going down. And that's why this weird meal where you're supposed to eat all your lamb and your dad's doing weird stuff, it's not a big deal because you're like, this whole week has been crazy. So you finish your meat. And you fall asleep. You wake up to this kind of eerie sound. You know when the wind blows through the trees and it kind of makes that, ooh, it's like ghost crying sounds. It's all creepy and you get ghost stories. That's the sound you wake up to. But it doesn't kind of go up and down with the wind. It just gets louder and louder and louder until you're like, this is insane. Until it turns into screaming and you just hear people all around you screaming in pain and in loss. You can't even take it anymore. It's like physical assault. It's the next day that your family packs everything that they have, including the bowl of dough that your mom made that isn't even risen yet. They throw it all together and they leave Egypt. Can you imagine walking down the aisle or down the road? These Egyptians with these red, tear-stained eyes looking at you going, get out of here. It's only later did you learn what actually happened. That on that night, in order to free your people from crushing slavery, after trying 9 different things to get the Pharaoh to let you go, God finally said, okay, here's the deal. You let these people go, or I'm going to kill the firstborn of every family in Egypt. It's harsh. After 9 tries to say, look, just let these people go already. You're not going to listen? Okay, here it goes. And the screams you remember to your dying day, that was the screams of their firstborn children dying. And that's when your dad kneels down in front of you so you can look you eye to eye. And he says, son, daughter, God saved us. God saved us. That thing that came through Egypt passed over us and saved us. But that's not the end. It's not just about what happens to you. Now it's our turn. Because God saved us for a reason. For something more than this. So when you're on the playground and your friend's getting bullied, God saved you for that moment. What are you going to do? When you see people hurt and beaten and broken, what are you going to do? God saved us. We have a role to play in this now. From this day forward, every year, we're going to celebrate Passover, the day God saved us. Not just to be saved, but for something more. For us to do something more. To bless the world. And just take that event for a moment. And remember how this story started. This is the story that Jesus references at the Last Supper, just before Easter. You hearing that? Jesus, just before Easter, just before the whole thing goes down, references this story of God saving the people of Israel so that they could do something in this world, that they could be a blessing to this world. Just before Easter. When you take that seriously, I think the Easter story starts to take on a lot of attributes of the Passover story, doesn't it?
According to the book of John, one of the books of the Bible that tells the stories of Jesus, when you read through it in this event, he's at this Last Supper, and we're led to believe that he knows his time is short. He knows his death is imminent, and he's warning his students. He's going, my time is short. I'm going to be leaving soon. Now, with my understanding of Easter and this hope message and the theology that's surrounding it that I grew up with that said something's broken between me and God, and if I believe this thing can be made right, I can be connected with God and I can go to heaven. Like, this is kind of the Easter message. From my understanding of Easter and how important this message was for all of mankind, I personally would have guessed that Jesus, knowing this Last Supper would be among the last times he would have with his immediate followers, this would be his opportunity to sit down with them and say, okay, guys, let me explain Easter to you guys. Let me explain what's going to go down here, because this is very important for you guys, and it's going to be important for your followers to do this. That's what I would have expected at the Last Supper. So not only was that story told, but just prior to that story, Jesus does something that no one saw coming. He took off all his robes, naked. He reached out and grabbed a towel and put it around his waist. And then he grabbed a basin and with water sat down at the feet of every one of his followers and began washing their feet. This was something that only servants did. People would be looking right over the person washing their feet, engaging in conversation. They wouldn't even have to even acknowledge the person that's washing their feet. Here's Jesus, one of Jesus' closest friends and followers, Peter. He looks at Jesus and he says, you're not actually going to wash my feet, are you? I mean, he was stunned. Jesus was a rabbi, one of the most esteemed roles a person could play in Jewish culture at all. If you were a rabbi, I'm telling you, you'd walk into a place and it would like part like the Red Sea. I mean, people would want to listen to you. They would do everything for you. Jesus was a rabbi. Here he is doing one of the most menial tasks that existed in their day. Here he is getting ready to wash their feet. And Peter's looking at him and he asks him first. He says, you thinking about doing this? And Jesus says, you don't understand this, but one day you're going to get this. And Peter says, you're not touching my feet. No way. And it's like Jesus got in Peter's grill and said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you haven't figured out what I'm about. You don't get all that you've watched me do and say. This serving is what I'm all about. And this is what I'm calling you to do. All around that room that night, those guys and what they're witnessing, I mean, they're processing hard. That is what Jesus was all about. This is it. I'm mean, they're surrounded in Roman culture by this hierarchical leadership, man. The more powerful you are, the less you have to do, the more you can command people around. Jesus is going, my way up is this right here. You want to be great in my kingdom? Come on. Let's serve. This is the last thing he's saying to his followers leading up to his execution. In my mind, I'm reading this, I'm going, okay, this just does not make sense. When the Easter message, why isn't he talking about this stuff over here? Why would he use these last moments with his followers to say, this is what I'm all about? Think about that for a second. It's like Jesus is saying, long after I'm gone, after I've left this place, the way that you're going to keep going and doing and promoting everything that you've seen me say and do is this way. Basins and feet washing and serving and loving. It's wearing the towel. And the thing is, I'm not telling the story kind of in a one kind of weird way where if you tell it a certain way, you can kind of come up with this message of serving. This, if you look throughout the literature of the Bible, this is a message that is pervasive all throughout when you look through the Jewish lens.
I was reading through some views of different scholars preparing for this. And I was reading through one particular scholar. He was comparing and contrasting Passover against Easter. And he says, the difference between the two is Easter is about getting out of the world. But in Passover, it's about asking God for one more year to make this world a little bit better. And that troubled me. Because how did the Christian community that I've been a part of, that I've studied in, that I've trained in, how have we missed this for the last 2,000 years? How have we suddenly made it all about getting out? Jeff told you a story about Jesus' first action just before the Last Supper. Just before he celebrates Passover, the Passover meal and the Passover ritual with his disciples. And the line that happens just before Jeff's story, Jesus says this: Jesus knew what was coming, knew his time on earth was coming to an end. Having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. Love. A few verses later, the gospel writer says this of Jesus. Jesus says to his students, let me give you a new command. A new command. Love one another. In the same way I've loved you, love each other. Love. That same gospel writer says earlier, this is how much God loved the world, that he gave his son. Love. Over and over and over in the gospel, according to John, it's about love. And thousands of years earlier, before the Jesus event, we read about the Passover event that ends with bless your world. Said in another way, love your world. Why did God save the Israelites from Egypt? So they could love their world. So they could make it better. It's the same reason I think that scholar says Passover focuses on loving your world. Or unfortunately, Easter is focused on getting away from the world. But when we look at that lens of love in the Gospels and through the Passover story and through the whole text, it kind of changes everything, doesn't it? Easter is no longer a story about how we can be saved, although that might be a part of it. The Easter story becomes a story about how can the world be saved? And how can we be a part of that? How is the love of our brothers and sisters and friends and family, people that we know well, people we probably will never meet face to face? How will that save our world? And the Easter story becomes like a Passover story where we say to God, thank you for saving us. Now, how can we love our neighbor?
So as Vince said, this Passover meal that was so sacred to Jesus and his followers, it had such rich symbolism, but it offered within it an annual challenge. They would sit around the table and they'd go, what can we do in this next year that will repair and mend and love our neighbor? It was a challenge. This morning, we wanted us in the round for a reason, outside of just being different. Because we envision people over here being able to look across, over here, seeing faces of others, and you doing the same, and all the way around, you're seeing faces. We thought, wouldn't this be neat if this could be symbolic of the faces that you will rub shoulders with this coming year? There are people who you know that you'll be granted opportunity this coming year to love and to serve. Some immediate family, maybe it's going to be a child that you are going to pour your life into. There's going to be people represented, symbolic of the faces you're looking over at, people that you don't really know well. Maybe it's a coworker, someone in the company that you've met maybe once or twice, and you hear about it this year going through a very difficult time. Just this week, heard a number of different stories of people who were reaching out to people they didn't really know well, and they're awkward, and they're saying, I just feel like I need to do something for them. This is exactly what we're talking about. These faces you're looking at over here could symbolize all the different people you will come into contact this year that perhaps an opportunity to do something that relates to the challenge of the Passover leading into Easter, changing your world. I'm betting that there's going to be people that are going to cross your path this year you will never even meet. They might be a friend of a friend. They might be a kid in another country. It might represent a group of people that you reach out to help, and you'll never know them, but you know the need. Today, we wanted to offer a challenge. As you stare across perhaps the silhouettes of people across the room and ask you, how willing would you be to love better than you did this past year? Could you use Easter and the Passover and all the different rich symbolism wrapped up in this as a challenge to love and to serve someone better than he did last year? Perhaps even better than he did this morning. We're offered a new opportunity to change our world. Jesus looked into the eyes of his followers. He said, look at me. I'm giving you a new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. May we this morning, as we close, may we take the challenge seriously. Love like we've never loved. Serve like we've never served. Hey? Happy Easter, everyone. As you go home, as you go to friends, families, you reach out this week, Let's take the message of serving and loving seriously into our world. Glad you came this morning. If you're new here, you know what? Don't be a stranger. Come on back. We're not as scary maybe as we were this morning. This is kind of freaky, but normally we're pretty normal. Have a great week. Love your neighbor. God bless you.